Our choir is growing and just getting better and better. Well done. The text for today, if you weren't raised in a mainline church, we are assigned texts that we can read or not. And this was a text from what is referred to as one of the minor prophets. Like last week, I never, ever would have chosen this text. It's just that it was the least awful of the ones that were offered to me. It was written around 539 years before the time of Christ. So they are ancient words, and yet they are eternally new. Listen for the word of our God and lean into the discomfort and allow it to find you where you are on your journey. The second year of King Darius, in the seventh month of the 21st day of the month, the word of God came to the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, and the son of Jehozadak." Yeah, even clergy screw these words up. "The high priest, the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you that you remember when you saw the former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel," says our God. "Take courage to the high priest. Take courage, all of the people of the land," says God. "Work, for I am with you," the God says, the God of hosts, "according to the promise that I made to you when you came out of the land of Egypt. My spirit abides with you. Do not fear, for thus says the God of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations so that the treasure of all the nations will come, and I will fill the house with splendor," says the God of hosts. "The silver is mine, the gold is mine," says the God of hosts. "The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former," says the God of hosts. "And in this place I will give prosperity," says the God of hosts. The word of life. Thanks be to God. I was going through some pictures while I'm still unpacking. And basically, I was going through these pictures so I didn't have to vacuum and do the laundry and all those things that I needed to do. You know how that goes. I came across a picture of my maternal grandmother, a black and white photograph. It was taken, the best I can calculate, it was taken probably in 1934. She was in her 20s, and she was holding a child, and she had three children around her. My grandfather, who was kind of cocky at the time, was out front. And what was striking to me about this photograph was my grandmother in her 20s with her four children. She just looked worn out. She just looked worn out. The context you can imagine is it was the Depression. It was the time of the Dust Bowl. And they lived on a poor farm in that time. What she did not know was that she would bear five more children and that her husband would die at the age of 45, leaving her with seven children to raise as a single mother during the Depression. My mind quickly went back to her as an older woman sitting in the rocking chair in my mom's house, humming to herself, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide my soul in thee." And certainly, if anyone knew how to sing that, she did. But I also remember her saying, talking about the good old days, how it was better back then. My mom telling me she was the second of the nine children, the oldest female, so she took on at the age of 11, she was doing laundry for seven people. And my grandmother, although they were desperately poor, would not let her children go out without their clothes ironed. My mother had all these irons in the stove, would have to pick them up and iron just a little bit and put them back on the stove. My mom also talked about how they picked cotton and their fingers bled because of the sharpness of the cotton. My grandmother said, I remember back then, it was a better time. I thought, are you kidding me? You know, we sing, give me this that old-time religion, it was good for my dear grandma and it's good enough for me. Well, I don't think so. My grandma did not live in a time where we talk about terrorism. My grandmother did not live in a time where we talk about germ warfare. It may have been good enough for her, but we live in the present. There's probably no clergy in the world who would rather do a funeral any day of the week than a wedding. Weddings are horrible. And I think Dante, when he was writing about the levels of hell, I think he missed a level of hell. And that goes to the mother of the bride. From my lips to God's ears. I did a wedding in Manhattan, and the mother of the bride petitioned the church board to dig up all of the flowers in front of the church and replant them so that the colors of the flowers matched the hymns of the bridesmaids. And it only got worse from there. She wanted to put a fern in the pulpit. And I said, no, that's not going to happen. That's where the word of God is proclaimed. You are not using that as a plant stand. And when she told me that it would throw off the balance of the wedding, I said, you know what would throw off the balance even more? If the minister didn't show up. It's not going to happen. She wanted her 5-year-old granddaughter to pull a wagon down the front aisle with a 3-month-old baby in it as part of the processional. I said, what are we going to do? Bring a Volkswagen down and have clowns coming out of it? She's one of those people that I want to push in front of a bus and tell Jesus she tripped. And at one point, after we'd had a battle, she talked about growing up and said, you know, life was just simpler back in the 50s. And I thought, well, that's probably true if you were white and middle class and heterosexual. I mean, we always look back at the past and we either make it worse than it was or we make it better than it was. We often don't strike that balance. Well, the prophet is calling on the corporate memory of the people. They had been sent to Babylon. The Babylonians had captured Israel and sent them into exile. King Cyrus, a Phoenician, overtakes the Babylonians and says to the Jews, some of you can go back and you can begin to rebuild Jerusalem. His grandson comes to the throne and says, you can all go back. And they go back and they begin to rebuild their homes and they begin to plant the vineyards. And a drought comes along and they're struggling and there's not a lot of money. But the prophet says, you've forgotten one thing. You've forgotten to rebuild the house of God. So they begin to build it, and some people say, you know, it's not as good as it used to be. And Haggai says, you're right. You're right. It's not as good as it used to be. How many of you remember the glory of the temple? Can you remember it? Yeah. It's not as good, but it's going to be. It's going to be better than it was before because God's glory and God's splendor is going to fill this house. I would never have chosen this text in 1,000 years. And then once I started reading it, I thought, what a perfect text for this church. You all have been through so much change. So much change, so much loss, quickly, in about a 6-month time. You have gone through it. But some of you were here when you're running 100, 125 in worship. How many remember that time? You remember that time. You remember that time when you were at your glory. And God said, or Haggai says to them, you remember that time. You remembered. And just as God has been with us, well, God brought us out of the land of Egypt. So God will restore you. Does it make sense? The damage has stopped. The bleeding has stopped. We're in a stable place. We have turned a corner. And as Mark said, and as our conference minister has said, as my family said, this church is a church of incredible love, incredible joy. I don't think that I have ever served a church that was more loving and more joyful. And when someone is sick and someone is in need, everyone pulls together. Do you know how many clergy would give their right arm to serve a church like that? It's true. You are doing it. You're doing a good job. Remember that time when you were running 125, because it's going to happen again. And the glory that you are headed for will be greater than the glory you had in the past, because it is God's Spirit who will be filling God's house. There have been times when people in this church have struggled with each other, and there still needs to be some forgiveness. There still needs to be some healing. Because change is hard, and it's difficult. Trust me, I was lost for an hour and a half last Friday night trying to find this place that I never found. Change is difficult. But we're going to get there, and we're doing a good job. I want to share a story with you that I heard probably 20 years ago in a sermon. It was the Reverend Joanna Adams. She's a Presbyterian clergywoman. And she was speaking at Second Presbyterian in Lexington, Kentucky. And I remember the story because I was in a similar situation. Her friend Tim had just taken on a pastorate in eastern Tennessee in the Appalachian Mountains. Now, I had just taken on a church in eastern Kentucky in the Appalachian Mountains. His was a Disciples of Christ church. And so as people came up for communion, like I do, he would pray for people as they received communion. But there were some people he couldn't see because the piano was in the way. So he went to the church board and said, I'd like to move the piano so I can pray for the people as they come forward. I don't need to move it far, just 2 feet, 6 1/2 inches. Well, the church board deliberated on this. They talked about the pros and the cons, and they prayed about it, and they told him, okay, all right, you can move the piano 2 feet, 6 1/2 inches. And he did. The Sunday came, and they were going to start worship, and Celeste, the pianist, was sitting in the back. And he went and sat next to her and said, Celeste, we're getting ready for worship. What's going on? She goes, I can't play the piano. You may not know this, but before me, my mother played that piano. And before her, my grandmother played that piano. So you see, Tim, I cannot play the piano where you have moved it 2 feet, 6 1/2 inches. Well, the first rule of ministry is choose your battles. It's not a bad rule for life. So Tim decided he would move the piano back 2 feet, 6 1/2 inches. But not before a great controversy broke out in the church. There was a pro-Tim side and the pro-Celeste side, and they weren't talking to each other. And he didn't know what was going to happen. But then there was some really, really bad news. Celeste was diagnosed with breast cancer. In the beginning, the church came and they mowed her lawn. They made sure her bills were paid. And in the end, they gathered around her grave and thanked God for her gift. If you ask me what it was that brought that church back together, I would argue that you're asking the wrong question. I think a better question is, who was it that brought that church back together? It was Christ, who is our head. My friends, do not be afraid. Work for that glory of God is with us always. It's already here. And it's just going to get better and better as you and I walk hand in hand and to continue to rebuild the house of God. Think about it. Amen.